listening to the Swiss Info Programme. I'm Jo Faye. Paul McCartney, Tom Hanks and Justin Bieber. What do they have in common? Not much, it's fair to say, except they've all been declared dead by fake rumours spreading on social media. When there's an explosion in a city or a large police presence in a public space, rumours quickly start up. And it's hard for journalists and the general public to sort fact from fiction.
When there's a breaking news event, for example, there are a lot of people who will go on social media to try to find out what's happening. And then there'll also be a lot of users who are posting information.
Here at Swiss Info, we're part of a European team that's trying to find a fast and reliable, automated way to sort the rumours from the truth. More on that later. Also in this programme, data journalism, where complicated numbers and statistics are broken down into eye-catching graphics that make the information understandable. They're becoming more and more common. I asked our data journalist Du Quang Nguyen about the challenges he faces getting hold of data in Switzerland and how he stays on top of a fast-changing field of journalism.
For sure, the first step is research. Try to find suitable data sources, if not trying to gather your own data. I'm more interested to get the raw data and research it, analyse it myself.
When Cornelius Gerlet, the son of a Nazi-era arts dealer, died in 2014, he left a huge art collection to the Fine Art Museum in Bern. The problem was, it included pieces that might have been stolen from their original Jewish owners. Rumours started circulating on Twitter that the museum was going to accept the collection. This was a situation where a programme like FEME could have helped journalists work out where the rumours came from and if they were true or not. FEME is the name of a project that aims to make software that can help everyone from journalists to the average citizen do exactly this. Geraldine Wong-Sakoi is a researcher for the project who's embedded at Swiss Info. She told me what they're trying to do.
Broadly speaking, we're looking at the major problem of there being so much information that circulates on the internet, and particularly on social media. In the context of journalism, you know, when there's a breaking news event, for example, there are a lot of people who will go on social media to try to find out what's happening. And then there'll also be a lot of users who are posting information about that particular event. And it's really hard as a user and also as a journalist, you know, if you're there, you know, looking for information for a story to know, you know, which bits are true and which bits are not.
The time it takes to find out if something is true or not was also a major driving force in the FEME project.
The process of verification is quite time-consuming and laborious. And when you're talking about, you know, trying to do things fairly quickly, which is oftentimes how journalists work, we don't have a lot of resources that will help us to verify information.
What does something like this involve?
The project brings together a lot of computer scientists who are trying to find a solution, a technical or a technological solution. So they're working with things like algorithms, natural language processing, text mining, in order to build a platform, an online platform that journalists can use and other users as well to try to detect rumors that are circulating on social media and also get an indication of whether these rumors might be true or false.
So a fast-track technological solution to finding out if something on the internet is true or false?
Yeah, by and large. Which sounds like a huge endeavor.
How did this idea get started then?
So there were a group of researchers in the UK who had been involved in looking into the riots that took place in England back in, I think it was 2011. And they had actually tried to track the rumors. They had noticed that there were a lot of rumors on social media, and a lot of them had turned out to be false. And so they analyzed those rumors quite extensively. And I guess the idea after that evolved, you know, what if we tried to find a solution, you know, to this problem? What if we created a tool that would help journalists to report information quickly and correctly?
And so it started with this group of researchers. Who else is involved nowadays?
So, yeah, we have a group of different people across Europe. So we have these academics in the UK working primarily in the computer science field. And then we also have some companies who are involved in things like text mining, natural language processing.
And how do all of these people work together? I mean, we're here in Switzerland at Swiss Info, and there's people all over Europe who are involved.
It's a collaborative project, and we've been working together for the past 2 years. We're now in the last year of our project. And so we meet, because we're in different locations in Europe, we meet twice a year in person, and then we have conference calls basically every week where we update each other and, you know, discuss issues and try to resolve them.
One of those twice yearly get-togethers was in May in Vienna. Akida Zubara is a postdoctoral researcher at Warwick University who was at the meeting in Vienna. He told Swiss Info about how he's involved.
Well, my work basically consists in collecting tweets, creating collections of tweets which we can later analyze and we can explore so we can understand more about rumors.
He says rumors are normally started by citizen journalists and eyewitnesses who are at the scene, or by news organizations where speed is more important than substance.
We have to be careful always with any information source. People in social media in general tend to share anything, right? Either if it's a rumor or it's confirmed or debunked, oftentimes people are not aware of this. They just find the story interesting, for some reason they want to share it.
And this is where he sees a role for the FEME project.
We need to somehow try to stop all this information spreading and try to somehow flag this information as potentially being false, asking people not to spread this unconfirmed or false information.
FEME can also be used in some different ways. Anna Koliaku is a postdoctoral researcher in the Biomedical Research Centre at King's College London. They're one of the test cases for how the system could be used in healthcare, but still to test and verify information. The basic concept is to look out for trends or peaking topics of discussion on social media. It's to prepare doctors for the kind of problems people are currently concerned or affected by.
What we are interested in is looking at peaks and troughs in the social media. So if there's increased chatter around one of the four themes that we are interested in, then we would like to create a system by which we warn clinicians who might be interested in any of those four themes that it might be something that they will have to deal with in their clinical practice.
In the end, they hope to have a daily alert system for doctors.
I guess the idea is that clinicians only have access to information on one dimension, which is the contact that they have with a patient. Sometimes they will have to deal with an issue in the consultation that comes out of nowhere. And that is a problem. So the solution that we're trying to give with the use case study is that if we had that analysis from social media, maybe we can warn clinicians that something might be coming to the consultation room.
The FEME project has changed a lot since it started. Once it's tested in real-life situations, the team quickly finds out what works and what doesn't. Geraldine told me what had been most unexpected from her point of view.
What surprised me was the amount of time verification took. The fact of sifting through all of that information, all these different sources online, manually, because of the volume of information we were sifting through, but also the number of rumors and the types of rumors that we had been able to identify, it just took so much time. It was incredibly, I think I already knew that verification takes time, but if that's all you're doing, and if as a journalist, you know, you're working on a story where there are lots of rumors, doing it manually really does take so much time. And I think that project really brought it home. I think the prospect of having a tool that will help to speed up the process of verification would really be useful. I can see how journalists might seize on that opportunity.
Yeah, it's clear how it could be useful for journalists. Do you see a way that this could be something that the general public, non-journalists could also use at some point as well?
Yeah, definitely. So the journalism dashboard that the FEME project is trying to build, it will be open source. So basically any user out there would be able to use it. And really, the idea behind the project was really to help anybody who's interested in the truth, anybody who's, going online to find out what's happening in the world and is really not sure which sources of information to trust, this tool is for them. So it's the average person as much as a journalist, but also, any businesses, government, nonprofit organizations.
For more on FEME, watch out for a special video on swissinfo.ch in the coming weeks. Data journalism is firmly established as a way of looking at sets of information, whether that's large digital piles of documents or statistics or records. As journalists, we can present information that's complex through an infographic, for example, or through charts and diagrams. Here at Swiss Info, we've had data journalist Duc Quang Nguyen working with us since 2014, although he came from a very different background to journalism.
I would say I always had an interest in news and media, and I started more about blogging, posting like data visualization first, and that's how I came up to work as a full job in data journalism.
Before you came to Swiss Info, what was the job that you were doing?
I work as a quantitative analyst for hedge fund.
Okay, so to the normal person, what is that exactly?
It's basically the guys who crunch numbers, do data analysis for, could be any type of company, but here was for a financial company.
And so you were doing that in the daytime, and then you started making blog posts that were more to do with data journalism.
Yes. Yeah, I guess I thought that was more interesting to do than my regular daytime job, and not that many people were doing it at the time. About 4 years ago, it was definitely New York Times was really big, started that Guardian Data as well. They had the data blog.
The Guardian?
Yes.
You're saying.
They were definitely the two first who started this trend.
How do you go about creating a data story now?
I'll start with the idea process. Usually it's just about reading news, reading headlines. I think it definitely gives really good ideas about how to have a data angle at regular news or news you always hear about.
You log on in the morning, you switch on your phone or whatever, and you see the headlines of the day. And do you at that point sort of think, is that true or not? Or where have they got this idea from?
Yeah, that could be like that for sure. I would say simple, like quick fact-checking. There's quite a lot of topics where you hear about it over days or weeks. And sometimes I think missing the big picture or the numbers, and I'll get an idea to work on it.
And you decide that you want to add some more kind of substance to the debate.
I would say maybe a different angle, but yeah. I like to think more substance, yes.
Okay. And so you have your idea then. How do you move into making that into a concrete story that we can publish on our website?
For sure, the first step is research. Try to find suitable data sources. If not, trying to gather your own data. I'm more interested to get the raw data and research it, analyze it myself.
And where do you go to get the data from? Do you have particular sources, or does it vary depending on the story?
Definitely varies, but for us, who has definitely a Swiss focus, I guess the Swiss Statistical Office is a big provider. I mean, all the public data agencies are the main sources for me, or Eurostat as well. But sometimes you have to just ask, you know, the right person for the data. They're not necessarily publicly available on the web.
And how readily available is the information that you need? Do you find it quite easy to access these raw data sources?
Most of the time, it's rather easy. For interesting data, you might more often have to use the Freedom of Information Act to ask really for specific documents.
Is there sometimes a reluctance to give you the raw data?
Yes, definitely. Although it's changing kind of slowly. I think in Switzerland, we are among developed countries, one of the latest who had adopted the Freedom of Information Act. It's not as developed as the States, for instance, or the UK or Scandinavian countries.
I know there's lots of specific techniques and ways that you're analysing data. Can you maybe tell me about the one that you're using the most?
I personally use what's called R a lot. It's like a statistical framework, a programming language. So it's pretty popular, I would say, in data journalism as well. As, I mean, it's free and open source. I can mention other like tools that people usually use. There's a tool called Tableau, which you don't need to program it, or Python. The programming language is also a pretty popular choice for data journalism. There's what's called Google Refine, which is used a lot in data journalism to clean data. I also use standard charting tools such as DataWrapper. I can mention a few others. There's like Chart Builder from Quartz.
And these are all things that people can find online and use for free?
Yes. Chart Builder is definitely open source and free. It's done by the news outlet Quartz. There's also Infogram, which is not necessarily free as well, but I think it's used as well. I think there's many others.
SwissInfo data journalist Duc Quang Nguyen speaking to me there. You can find many of his articles on our website, swissinfo.ch, where they're labelled as visual data to help you find them. Thanks very much for listening. The technician for this programme was Jakob Stoller, and I'm Jo Faye.